Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, and they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven."
I came across a social media journal this week that had an article on the top 100 social media influencers worldwide for 2023. So these are people who have got a big online footprint with millions of followers, and they use that to connect with large audiences on various social platforms, and of course brands use them to sell their products. And when you think that the average internet user spends over 2 hours daily on social media, the potential for influence is massive. The top 10 social media influencers overall for the start of 2023 covers their followers on Instagram, on Facebook, and Twitter. Now, any guesses as to who is in the top five? Top five?
Ronaldo.
Okay, he's actually at the top. Anyone else? Any guesses on top five? I think she might be towards the bottom of the top 10, I think, but she's not top five. Sorry, go on. Related is number five, but not quite. Yeah. Yeah, Kylie Jenner is in the top five.
Beyonce?
No, she's not. No. Trump isn't. No, no, Trump's not. No, no. Messi's number two. So Ronaldo has 787 million followers. Extraordinary. Messi, a mere 530 million followers. Next is Selena Gomez, American actor, musician, 499 followers. And then fourth place is Justin Bieber, Canadian musician, 477. And then Kylie Jenner, you got that one, reality TV star. Well, the article then listed the top 10 Instagram influencers by categories. They had different influencer categories. They had a lifestyle category, a travel, beauty, fitness, entertainment, sport, and tech influencers. But the last category caught my eye. It was the top 10 influencers to watch in 2023. And this is what they said. "The world of social media influencers is in a constant state of flux. Today's top dog may be tomorrow's, maybe forgotten tomorrow. Or someone else could use a viral video to promote themselves to superstardom. Here are some social media influencers we are keeping an eye on." I listed 10. I didn't recognize them. My name wasn't there, so I wasn't that interested. Unsurprisingly, a category that didn't feature was Jesus Kingdom influencers. Jesus' church on earth is not seen by this world as up and coming, the ones to watch. And yet heaven's perspective is so very different. I wonder how you're feeling today about the often very humdrum of your daily life and friendships, and about our shared life together as a church family. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that we're looking at, he says to his disciples, he says, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." And they're two really powerful images of his followers having life-changing, eternal kingdom influence in this sinful, passing, and spiritually dark world. So just think of this. The risen Lord Jesus Christ, as he looks out on his church around the world today, it's like he says to the billions in heaven of believers and angels and spiritual beings that worship him, he says, they, the local church, scattered all over the world, in cities and towns and hamlets, some big, some small, some thriving, others struggling, they're the ones to watch in 2023. They are my kingdom influencers. No pressure. But that is how heaven sees you if you're a disciple of Jesus, in your school, in your college, in your workplace, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your friendship groups, the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Maybe Jesus' kingdom seems a bit topsy-turvy to you. It's actually the right way up. It's our world and our hearts that are by nature upside down. And that's why last week, as Jesus painted for us that vibrant picture of the blessed, the flourishing, the happy life in verses 3 to 12 that we've just read, took us a bit by surprise. Because it doesn't immediately look like the happy life. Not least, look at the last one, the last blessed are in verse 11 and 12 that describes the reaction that Jesus' people can expect from the world. It's not exactly profile of what you might think is a happy global influencer. Look at verse 11. "Blessed, flourishing, happy are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets before you." Truth is this is the profile of Jesus' kingdom influences. I mean, if you want to influence people for Jesus, live a kingdom life, inviting others into Jesus' forever kingdom, you are going to get serious flack. That is what Jesus is saying in verses 11 and 12. And that is why I think he goes straight on in our passage this morning in verses 13 to 16 to encourage us and to inspire us to get out there, to determine to be his kingdom influencers, to take the flak of present, passing, insult, persecution, slander for the glory of eternal joy, bringing others with you into his eternal kingdom. So let's look at these two powerful pictures of influence Jesus gives. And for each of them, Jesus shows the opposite of them. So first, you are the salt of the earth. And this is about being distinct and having impact. Verse 13. Have a look at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. And here's the opposite. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, salt does a lot of things. It preserves. It gives taste. It has lasting qualities. It purifies. So salt preserves. I mean, maybe Jesus is using salt to represent his people preserving society from evil. So when at school and college or work or socially people gossip, backstab, and are dishonest, and abuse power, and it's a dog-eat-dog world, it's easy to go along with that, isn't it? Be part of it, and to be as guilty. But when, because you're blessed, you're flourishing and happy Jesus way, verse 3, before God, you feel your poverty of spirit. You see, spiritually and morally, you are on empty, undeserving. And verse 4, you mourn over your sinful failures and your rebellion against God. And verse 5, you are meek. You know you have no rights before God to demand, but you trust in his mercy. And verse 6, you hunger and thirst for righteousness, for people to be right with God and living right before him. Well, when that's true of you, then, well, it changes you to be a humble, powerful kingdom influencer. You're distinct, you're impactful, because you have the humble strength to speak well of people, to celebrate their success. Your word can be trusted. You don't cheat. You're not dishonest. You don't fill the books. You use your power sensitively. People feel safe with you. And your humility means that, well, you're good to be around. You're the salt of the earth. You're preserving an otherwise toxic culture. What about salt adding taste? Maybe Jesus is using salt to represent his people, giving the world a taste of the goodness of his kingdom. So when in your friendships or in your family or with neighbors, there are disagreements, and it spirals out of control and there's unkind words, insults, there's distance and coldness and bitterness and maybe anger, even fights. But because you're blessed, because you're flourishing and happy Jesus way, verse 7, your experience of God's mercy to you makes you merciful to others. You have the resources to break that cycle of ungrace and treat others instead with kindness. And not payback. You offer forgiveness. Or verse 9, your experience of Jesus making peace with God for you at the great expense, the great cost of his life, well, that changes you. It makes you a peacemaker. So that you move towards conflict, to reconcile, even at great personal cost. Well, in that, Jesus has changed you to be a powerful kingdom influencer. You're distinct. You have impact. You're the salt of the earth. You bring healing to broken relationships. But then salt has enduring qualities. And maybe Jesus is talking about salt here to represent the enduring nature of his kingdom, that it lasts forever. You know, in ancient times, I understand that salt was eaten in making covenants, in signing contracts, and it was a sign that the covenant being made, it was lasting. So when you or when your loved ones or acquaintances are faced with the fragility of life and are struggling with trial, maybe it's an ongoing or maybe it's a terminal illness or bitter disappointment or bereavement or painfully unsatisfied longings or poverty, the death of a friend or a loved one, injustice from those in authority over you, betrayal from your peers. In all that, when, because you're blessed, because you're flourishing and happy Jesus way, you hold on to all the promises that Jesus makes in verses 3 to 12. So have a look at them. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. You will be comforted. You will inherit the earth. You will be filled. You'll be shown mercy. You'll see God. You're called children of God. Heaven will reward you. And maybe at times it feels like you're just about hanging on in there by your fingernails to those promises, but you are hanging on. Well, look, in that, Jesus is sustaining you to be a powerful kingdom influencer. That future perspective that you live with, that makes you distinct. It gives you impact in this world, in a world that is living for here and now. Your life speaks of the enduring nature of Jesus' kingdom. You're the salt of the earth, offering hope in an insecure world. But then salt purifies. Maybe Jesus is using salt here to represent his people, showing the world what a pure life before God looks like. So when our culture tells you that getting drunk or overeating or binge-watching TV is okay, or sex out of marriage is okay, or dating someone who isn't a believer doesn't matter, or that personal success and happiness is, that's your right. It's be who you want to be. You deserve that. But when, because well, you're blessed, you're flourishing, you're happy, Jesus way, when, verse 8, you seek to live before God with a pure heart, instead of a self-indulgent heart, and obey God's word, the Bible, when that is personally costly to do and hard to do. And for that, maybe verse 10, you're persecuted because of righteousness. Verse 11, you're insulted. People say falsely evil things against you because of your stand for Jesus and what he teaches in the Bible. And you respond with a pure heart, lovingly motivated to do people good, even those who oppose you. Well, in that, Jesus, he's empowering you to be a powerful kingdom influencer that has a supernatural quality to it, because in the hardness of seeking to follow Jesus, it's tough. It means here you're distinct, but impactful as well, in a self-indulgent world that inflicts so much pain on itself. Your life speaks of the purity of Jesus' kingdom. You're the salt of the earth, offering true life to the broken. And Jesus warns here of the danger of losing saltiness. Salt doesn't actually lose its taste today, but back in the first century, salt was far less pure and could at times lose its flavor. And that's why Jesus warns in verse 13 in his illustration here, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It's terrifying. Let's be clear here. Jesus is not saying that if you're a genuine Christian, but you start to lose your saltiness, your distinctiveness, your kingdom impact, that Jesus is going to kick you out of his kingdom. He's not saying that. His illustration here is about becoming useless in his kingdom because we've indulged in sin or worldliness. And we just blend in with the world. We live for comfort and ease, no longer kingdom influences. It's terrifying. It's terrifying that it is possible to be saved but useless to Jesus in building his kingdom because of our sinful worldliness, hardly reflecting the blessed, flourishing, happy life that turns the world upside down and that brings people into his eternal kingdom. So how salty are you today? I don't mean by that the kind of way we use it today of having attitude, but having this gospel impact. And at the heart of having that gospel impact, it's not about going out and trying harder. It's about walking closely with Christ. Remember how in the New Testament, Jesus' opponents observed about Jesus' disciples that they were unschooled, they were unlearned people, but they took note that they'd been with Jesus. And that is the key to living a gospel salty life. Our relationship with Christ, our obedience to him. Let's go on to the second picture here, though. Secondly, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. Be visible and shine brightly." That's what he's saying here. Look at verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do," and again, here's the opposite, "neither do people put a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on the stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." And Jesus is picking up on here on well-known Old Testament imagery, especially from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. And in fact, Matthew makes this connection deliberately by quoting from Isaiah in Matthew 4, verses 12 to 17, in the lead-up here to the Sermon on the Mount. And Matthew's point here in making this here is that, look, Jesus' ministry in first century Galilee, it actually fulfills Isaiah's prophecy that chapter 4, verse 16, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Jesus is the true light who comes into the world to bring salvation through his ministry, his life, his death, his resurrection. And he's saying that so too now, his followers are the light of the world, shining his glory. So Christ's people are heralds of this new and lasting kingdom, living this countercultural portrait of the happy life in verses 3 to 12. And such lives shine brightly in contrast to the darkness of the short-term, me-centered happiness that defines our world. So again, think of Jesus now, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he looks out on the world, sees his church. It's like he says to the hosts of heaven, they, like a city built on a hill, they can't be hidden. They are the ones to watch in 2023. They're my kingdom influencers. Keep an eye on them. They must shine and give light to a dark world. And it makes no sense, does it, to hide a light, a candle under a bowl? No, we put lights on a stand and or somewhere where the light's going to give light to people in the house so you can see in the dark. To cover over a light is to defeat the very purpose of a light. And so Jesus says, "My people, you are the light of the world. We're meant to shine Jesus' light into the spiritual darkness around us, to cover over our light, because we're ashamed of Jesus or his teaching in the Bible, ashamed of being different, is to defeat the very purpose of the light that we are. I've spoken before about when I was at school. I was a flickering, unsure Christian. I had a simple faith in Jesus, but I was not a confident Christian. The godless culture of my friends seemed far more believable than the antiquated culture of the little chapel that we attended. And at school, I was mainly an undercover Christian. In year 9, a boy called Gary joined our school, and we became good friends. He was a confident Christian who evidently loved Jesus and let everybody know about it. And boy, did he get some flack for it. And to my shame, I found myself irritated sometimes by his openness. And the reason, if I'm honest, on reflection, is that the light of Jesus in him exposed the darkness of my shame. And so I'm ashamed to say that there were times when I distanced myself from him. And one time, I remember particularly, it's on my conscience. We were in sixth form by this time, and he did an assembly with our year group. I mean, that takes guts, doesn't it? Do an assembly for your year group. And it was amazing. He talked about Jesus breaking down the barrier of our sin so we can have a relationship with God, to years 12 and 13. And I'm ashamed to say that that morning, I was deliberately late for school so that I missed his assembly. I was ashamed of Jesus. Now, we actually became good friends. And what Gary did for me in school was to help me to see that the gospel is believable. Here was a believer who had lived in the real world, the blessed, the happy, the flourishing kingdom life of Jesus. And he was prepared to stand for Jesus when pretty much everyone gave him stick. And people like me failed to stand with him. When everyone was living as though God is dead, he was a bright light, exposing our darkness, giving light to everyone in the house so we could see Jesus, the light of the world. And to see that the gospel is believable. So Gary, with his life, was singing that rather cheesy children's song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine." But with my life, I was singing, "This little light of mine, I'm going to put it under a bowl, put it under a bowl, put it under a bowl." I mean, the lyrics don't quite go. It doesn't work. And of course, that's the point. And that's Jesus' point. An unashamed Christian is not a catchy, ashamed Christian is not a catchy Christian. It just doesn't work. I mean, who's going to follow a Jesus that his followers are ashamed of and coy about? In the church that I was converted in, they had this long-standing tradition that at every baptism, as the person came up out of the water of baptism, we'd sing the same 18th century hymn. And it went like this, first verse, "Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee, ashamed of Jesus, ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glories shine through endless days." Now, the language is dated, but the words are great for a baptism. We sang it at my baptism. And so, having professed publicly that I'm trusting in Jesus to forgive my sins, He's now my savior. He's my king. I walked out of our baptistry pool to the church family singing that. Actually, and Gary was there that day. He was singing that, encouraging me, urging me, and saying, putting this question, why would you? Why would you, a mortal human being, ever be ashamed of Jesus Christ? The one who eternal angels in heaven praise. He's the light of the world. His glory shines to endless days. It was like church family was saying, look, be encouraged with your short life, this little light of yours, the light of Christ in your life, let it shine. Be a kingdom influencer. Are you ashamed of Jesus? My guess is that for all of us, we've been in situations where we have to say, yes, I was ashamed. I didn't speak up, I was silent. Just as an aside here, if you're a believer and have not yet been baptized, why not? Baptism, it's about saying, I'm all out for Jesus Christ. I am unashamed. I want to say that publicly. If you want to explore baptism, come and chat to me afterwards. Are you hiding like I was and sometimes still do? You're hiding your light under a bowl. Your family, amongst friends, at work, at school, college. Don't do that. Let's be these kingdom influencers that Jesus calls us to be. Let's let our words shine light for people in our lives, the light of the gospel, so that they can see in us something of who God is. And something of what he's done for us in saving us through Jesus. Jesus' church, from heaven's perspective, we are the ones to watch in 2023. And as Jesus looks out on his church across the whole world today, his heart for us, for you and for me, here in the West, where it's frankly so much easier to be a Christian, but places around the world where it's just dangerous to be a Christian. His heart for us is there in verse 16. It's this, is for others to see and give glory to the Father. Look at verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I wonder if that's your heart today. For your kingdom life to be on display to the world around you, not for your glory, but for the glory of your Father in heaven. And you know, whether your life brings glory to the Father by drawing people into his kingdom, or solemnly by serving as judgment day evidence in their lives to the reality of his kingdom that they rejected, your life as your kingdom influencer will bring glory to the Father. In heaven's eyes, Jesus' church is where the action is. Because we're no less than the citizens of his kingdom, the heralds of his new eternal kingdom in a world that's passing away. And it means this, that whilst Ronaldo may influence his 787 million followers in this short and passing away life, the most unknown disciple of Jesus Christ may influence only a tiny handful of people, but yet their influence can impact those people for the endless ages of eternity. As a disciple of Jesus, you need to know today that you have more punch, you have more influence in the big picture of eternity than the world famous 787 million followers, Ronaldo. Do you believe that? I do. I think God's word tells us that today. So determine to be a kingdom influencer, not in your own strength, in the power of the Spirit. Take the flak of present, passing insult, persecution, slander, for the glory of eternal joy, bringing others into Jesus' eternal kingdom. Because the risen Lord Jesus, he looks out on his church today and he says this, you are the salt of the earth. Be salty. You are the light of the world. Shine brightly that others may see and glorify our Father in heaven.